Imagine it's 11 p.m. and you've just finished binge-watching a show amongst Netflix top 10. And you happen to love an outfit worn by a character on the show. Given the opportunity to buy it immediately after, would you? Hi, welcome to Coats and Mascara, an exploration into India's fashion and beauty industry and its untapped potential. A show where we identify cultural trends and dissect the business opportunities across the ever-evolving landscape of the beauty and fashion industry in India. I'm Disha, your host. I'm a fashion designer and luxury brand consultant at House of Identities.
And I'm Sharvari, your co-host, a management consultant and a beauty enthusiast.
Thank you for joining us. In today's episode, we will be covering the opportunity where OTT platforms can serve as a secondary marketplace and be a potential influence in the fashion world. So, Sharvari, what are some of the big changes you feel the pandemic has brought in with consumer habits?
So, I mean, in my opinion, obviously two of the biggest things is binge-watching TV shows and shopping online. You know, getting stuck in quarantine, in isolation, has really forced us to reach out to watching TV shows as an avenue for entertainment, right? Because we can't go out, can't meet friends. So not only do we have more time, but it became our only source of entertainment for a long time. And including actually shopping online too, because we can't go physically to stores, but you still want to have the feeling of, you know, being able to dress up or look a certain way that the pandemic has not stripped that from you. So not just shopping essentials, but, you know, clothes and shoes and jewelry. I think the e-retail market has definitely seen a jump. OTT platforms for sure, 30% increase in paid subscriber rate. It's quite massive, I would say. You know, these trends have been going on for a while, for 5-6 years now, but they have been accelerated. You know, something that may have taken 3 to 5 years to really reach its peak in India managed to, you know, really happen in 3 to 5 months.
You know, now that you mention it, I think it's true. In fact, I'm guilty myself of having watched a lot of shows and movies during these 2 years of the pandemic. Initially, in India, you know, we used to spend so much time traveling and with commute. But because of the pandemic, we've kind of saved on a lot of that time now. And what I feel is that we've started spending more time watching TV shows and movies because we're at home. And this is just a form of entertainment that remains for us. In fact, I think in this pandemic, especially in India, a lot of shows have become really, really popular. For instance, I think internationally, I would say Bridgerton or Emily in Paris. But if I think about India, especially, I would say reality shows like Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives or other shows, you know, where there was this season 2 of FOMO Shots that came in, or even at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, you had Made in Heaven, which was there. I think these shows have been really popular during this entire period.
You know, when now that you mentioned the Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives, I remember reading an article. It was, I think, I can't recall, Hindustan Times, Hindu, I can't recall which publication, but it detailed out this outfit worn by, I think, the wives, one of their daughters. And they had, she had attended the Le Bal. It was a cotillion that is held in Paris, right? So they had detailed out the outfit she had worn, a red gown by this designer called Le Cornet Himal Couture. And they, you know, what the price was and where you can actually buy it. And I think that was one of the few times, I mean, recently that I've seen that there's a demand in terms of from people to know what kind of outfits are worn, right? Because in my opinion, they derive an aspirational value from watching either characters on your scripted TV shows or, you know, personalities on reality shows. These people want to know what they're wearing. So the fact that there have been articles released on this has really shown me that there's a bit of a demand in this market.
In fact, I think celebrity dressing in general has been very influential to audience across the world, and especially an Indian audience, I would say, given that Bollywood is such a prevalent industry here. I think people from all over India, especially tier 2, tier 3 cities and rural India, take a lot to celebrity following. Even metropolitan cities, I would say, I don't want to be biased here, but celebrity dressing has always been an inspirational factor to us. People see something and they automatically want to wear it or wear trickle-down versions of it. And this is something that has been happening around for a long time. But, you know, when it comes to TV shows, I feel, especially now that you mentioned the fabulous lives of Bollywood wives, I think this is a relatively new trend, you know, where inspiration is also coming through from TV shows.
No, this has been around for a while. I mean, maybe it's a little new in India, which is probably true. But this trend of, you know, detailing out outfits worn by characters on shows, it's been around for almost 10 years now, I think. I remember when I was a teenager, you know, like a lot of other teenage girls discovered Gossip Girl. And we know that fashion was a regular character on that show. You know, Blair and Serena and the outfits that they wore. I mean, come on, they were aspirational to the nth level. And I wanted to know what designer clothes they were wearing. So I used to research, and there was this website called Worn on TV. And there's another one called Shop on TV as well, where they have a roster of 250 plus shows. But earlier, it wasn't that many. And they used to basically go to the shows that they have, go in each character, what outfits they wore per episode. I mean, this obviously was contingent on the fact that, you know, the creators of the website could find the outfits worn for each character on each episode. But when they did, they would detail out, you know, it was a top or a skirt or a pant or, you know, a dress or bags and jewelry and shoes, even like iPhone cases. They would, you know, detail out, you know, what they're wearing and, you know, where customers can buy it from. You know, they would name the brand and actually sort of put an affiliate link to the website where customers could buy these outfits and earn a commission. So this demand has definitely been around for a while. This is not a new concept, definitely.
Oh, I mean, that's true. You know, actually, when I think of it now, Gossip Girl has been something that we all loved because I think it came around at a time when we were teenagers. Back in the day, there were no OTT platforms. So we would actually scour the internet, you know, to find websites where we could watch shows like Gossip Girl. Another one that was really popular in the time was like 90210 Beverly Hills, you know. We loved these shows. We loved what the characters were wearing. And definitely, looking back at it now, I would have loved to wear so many of the Blair pieces that were available, you know. But I feel that I actually did not know about going through and really researching where I could find these outfits to buy. I wasn't entirely sure if I would be able to afford them back, you know, when I was a teenager. But also, I really didn't know that there were websites like Worn on TV or Shop Your TV and be able to really go and buy these outfits. If there was an opportunity to do so, probably my teenage self would have jumped with joy, you know. I think it would have been really amazing and I would have loved to buy that.
You know, that's true. And I think OTT platforms can definitely leverage this demand that exists. This is something that exists and is out there. And they can leverage this demand by building a secondary marketplace, you know, where they're able to actually create an entire roster of outfits and jewelry and shoes worn by the characters on their TV shows and, you know, give that kind of accessibility to their viewers. Right? I mean, a way that this can actually work is, you know, we know on Amazon Prime, there is a IMDb section when you're watching, you know, a TV show or a movie, you know, you pause it. And when you pause it, like the actors in the scene and some trivia about the scene or the actors are mentioned on, you know, the left-hand side. Now, what if the same kind of mechanism was used by OTT platforms to detail out the outfits worn by certain characters? You know, obviously, it's not every TV show they're going to do it, but select ones where they know there's a fashion appeal. You know, where suppose, let's give an example, I'm watching Gossip Girl and I pause the show and on the left-hand side, Blair Waldorf, she's wearing this and this and this, you know, and then not obviously on your TV, but on your laptop or your mobile or your iPad, you can click that link. It'll take you to the marketplace and you can purchase the outfit, whether through OTT platform, or it might just link you like Worn on TV, link you, would be an affiliate link you to the website you can buy it from, and voila, there goes your accessibility. So, you know, they're able to actually leverage the IP, the considerable IP that they have through multiple outfits on their TV shows by actually catering it directly to the public.
Oh, I think that can be such an interesting experience, you know, especially I think if I think about India now, in a country like India, this way of shopping could be really, really successful. I mean, we are such a fragmented market with 29 different states. We're a melting pot of culture. And I think with the huge population that we have, this would actually create pan-India resources for so many brands that would be tied up to such a marketplace.
Absolutely. I mean, you're a consultant, Disha. You've worked with small, big, large brands across India. And, you know, what do you think? I mean, considering your experience in this field, do you think that something like this can be adopted?
Definitely. I think in a country like India, be it for small businesses or large scale businesses in the fashion space, I think this can definitely be adopted, especially smaller businesses who I think have lost out on the Instagram boom or haven't really been able to catch on to the Facebook wave. This can be particularly amazing for them. You know, in India, along with our access to Netflix or Amazon Prime, you have other OTT platforms which are really popular to the public in tier 2, tier 3 cities, even in rural India, because people can watch it on their smartphones. But we have platforms like Woot, Sony Live, Eros, Hotstar, which particularly dominates the entire country, even Eros for that matter. You know, we have so many of these platforms. So I think it can be really interesting for small businesses. How this can happen is that because these platforms show a lot of regional content, which is available in languages that are accessible to a large population of India, actually tying up with these type of platforms where small brands can tie up with these platforms and showcase and put their products on characters from this content that these smaller platforms are displaying, this can create an aspirational value and bring out the aspirational value rather for these characters by regional India. And in fact, I read in a survey where most of India consumes regional content. And it'll interest you that only 7% of the entire content consumed in India is in English. Everything else is in regional languages. So if I think about it, small brands can really leverage this this opportunity, and it can help them to reach out to a pan-India audience, which would definitely not be possible if they tried out on their own. And now with Instagram, you know, where things are with more and more brands coming on and so much noise that already exists, kind of breaking through. And, you know, despite using Instagram promotion and other marketing techniques where they might not be able to really reach out, this can be amazing. Also, with the smartphones that people are using in rural India, and the cheap plans that are available both on OTT platforms as well as because of the telecommunication boom, where a lot of service providers are giving you really affordable plans, for people to access the OTT platforms through their smartphones is really easy now. And having this large viewership can be amazing for an OTT marketplace, you know. So I think for small businesses and large businesses in the fashion sector in India, OTT marketplace is the next step.
It's very interesting that you say that, you know. I mean, definitely good for small businesses. But, you know, you mentioned the telecommunication aspect of this. And India specifically is just sweet spot with this because of the telecom disruption that took place about, you know, 5-6 years ago. Internet plans are really cheap. Getting 4G data on your phone is not an expensive endeavor at all. And smartphone penetration in particular is something that has been growing at an alarmingly fast rate. I mean, by 2022, 820 million people in India are expected to own smartphones. And smartphones with 4G and also cheap OTT plans, OTT networks have actually leveraged this and sort of developed cheaper plans, mobile-only plans. You know, Netflix, it's $1.99 per month. You know, Hotstar with its free plan, but also $3.99, you know, sort of trying to appeal to a larger market. And all your other regional platforms have also developed relatively cheaper plans that appeal to the tier 2 and tier 3 and rural areas in India. You know, it's considering the accessibility to internet has increased by 90%, you know. So India in general is at a sweet spot in a way that other countries are not. And this kind of demand, this kind of untapped potential is a huge, huge opportunity that OTT platforms should definitely try to capture. You know, now that, however, you know, something, you know, we're talking about this as an on opportunity front, but what about, I mean, I guess creating infrastructure for this would require a lot of R&D and resource investment, right? I mean, what kind of infrastructure can be installed and how do you think that platforms can really go about it?
You know, now that you mention it, considering the fact that creating this infrastructure would be a big challenge for OTT platforms and would not be an easy task at all. As you mentioned, R&D and resource investment would be tremendous. And if I have to think about it, it would also require a lot of consistency in terms of great supply chain and logistics. Another factor to consider would be customer relationship management, which would have to be very smooth in terms of having customers reach out to place orders and then, you know, put out their queries. And especially if you're doing it on a global scale, where would the products be shipped out of? Would this be through the OTT platforms and the services that they provide or through the brands and companies that are partnered up with them? So this is something that it would really require a lot of thought. And also creating a seamless experience for users, you know, good user experience would be very essential. We speak about India where, you know, you have a lot of rural India that is using internet plans and, you know, you shopping on smartphones. But thinking about how can you create a user experience that is effortless and is almost something that each and every individual is able to quickly get on and shop through. Our generation finds online shopping almost as easy as a task as eating. But for a slightly older generation who's not very equipped with online shopping or who is only just learning the trend of shopping online, kind of luring them to shop through these platforms and also creating a user experience that gives them the ease to shop is something to really consider here.
Absolutely. I mean, there are so many different aspects to creating a platform like this, right? I mean, like we mentioned, supply chain, logistics, you know, warehousing and user interface, basically ease of using the platform. I mean, what I do believe, considering that there is just so much work and, you know, time that would go into it, there would be a lot of opportunity for job creation.
Job creation, I think, is going to be the most added advantage to creating this type of an OTT platform marketplace, because I think job creation would be something that would have to happen internally in terms of the OTT platforms and as well as externally when you think about the brands who are partnering up with these OTT platforms. You know, a friend of mine once mentioned to me that OTT platforms actually have a community of cinephiles that sit through hours and hours of footage for TV shows and movies before they decide what type of content is to be shown out to their audience. I think what can be really interesting is if the OTT platforms, all of them, could actually have a fashion community similar to a cinephile community, where you have a community of, let's say, fashion designers, fashion stylists, trend forecasters, even data analysts who would come on board and just decide, you know, go through TV shows or movies, decide which show or which movie is good enough to dictate a fashion trend, you know, and put those particular shows on and put them onto the marketplace. So I think this is how this can happen, something internally for the OTT platforms. But if I think about externally, you know, the demand that is going to come through, even if I just look at India, pan-India demand. So for brands to reach out to this demand or to be able to you know, satiate this demand, I think they would also have to bring in more talent in terms of designers or even artisans to produce this new demand that comes through from the OTT platform. So I think it will create a huge opportunity for job creation. Also, I think, which we forgot, like while we were speaking earlier on, you know, having this user experience and this infrastructure. So creating this infrastructure would also have to bring on a lot of more hands, you know. You'd have UI UX designers and coders who would have to come in and create this platform.
That's a really good point. I would, you know, and because these, a lot of small brands also, you know, this opportunity allows them to be creative, you know, coming onto platforms like this, and allows a lot of different kind of, you know, like data analysts and, you know, your cinephiles and, you know, stylists and all to have a creative opportunity. But also it gives them access, small brands at least, to a user base that they would never otherwise have had. Because OTT platforms have a user base that, like we mentioned, that spans pan-India to multiple villages and rural areas, basically, and tier two towns. And having your brand sort of marketed through these platforms, access to the user base, phenomenal. So, you know, adding to this point, you know, if this platform were to be successful, a marketplace like this, if it actually were to take off, you know, this could provide opportunities for, you know, expansion as well, right, in the future. I mean, developing a more omni-channel experience to, you know, physical retail expansion, like a Nykaa, you know, where they start off as an online platform and they move on to physical retail stores. You know, you go to a store, like, you know, sections where, you know, this is an outfit worn by, like, this character in FOMO shorts. And obviously going to stores and having that experience and tapping a market that, you know, it's still unwilling to actually do online shopping, which, by the way, exists. You know, let's not count that market out. So, and this way, they, you know, by doing that, they can gauge like multiple customer segments. So, Disha, you know, sometimes I feel that, you know, extensive marketing and, you know, through multiple communication channels like constant notifications and email marketing can really drive shoppers off the wall. You know, if this platform were to be, you know, if they were actually develop something like this and they start marketing it, you know, it should not come off too infomercial and gimmicky like a QVC. I mean, we are not sitting here and like on Netflix, like, or Amazon Prime, like, hey, become the next QVC, you know, keep promoting your products. I mean, one of the biggest appealing aspects of an OTT platform is no ads and no infomercials, right? So it has to be packaged in a way, this opportunity, that people would actually like to explore it, you know? So I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on this?
I think as a user, if I were to be slapped on with more ads, this would take away from my interest in watching shows or movies on OTT platforms. So if this type of a marketplace was to be developed, extensive marketing on the shows or on the content would definitely take away. And in fact, it could dismantle the whole ecosystem of OTT platforms, you know, because people would lose interest in even watching the shows after that, just with the fear that they're going to be targeted on with shopping advertisements. But on the other hand, I think if they were to do it in a way that is not too infomercial and is not too pressurizing, it could be a really interesting shopping experience, because, you know, we speak about the reason a lot of people prefer to go to physical retail stores is because they get to experience things firsthand. With digital shopping, we have always only had one way of shopping. You know, we've always gone through the website, and then eventually, you know, now we got on to shopping on Instagram or Facebook. But the method of doing that was really very similar. But actually, shopping through an OTT marketplace would be a really fun experience. And it's something that could add on as a trend to how digital experiences can be shaped into the world going forward. Plus, I feel that shopping through an OTT marketplace would be really customized, which is how trends are shaping up, as I see, you know, customized to viewers' choices. And without even a lot of SEO, we would already be able to understand likes and dislikes of consumers based on the type of content that they consume. So it's not a not one size fits all kind of approach, which I think could be absolutely amazing.
I love that thought, one size fits all. It's so true. This is going to be a revolutionary concept. You know, shopping, giving a drop-ass digital experience. So guys, we would like to leave you here with some food for thought, you know, based on this discussion that we've had. Would you be interested to shop on an OTT platform marketplace? You know, would you think this is an interesting experience? Let us know your thoughts.
Oh, and Shavri, before we leave them, I think it's also important to consider that we've completely forgotten about the poor boys here and other genders as well. Understanding if this shopping experience would be fun for all genders, not just the female gaze, because, you know, we spent this whole episode speaking about shows like Homo Shots and Emily in Paris and Made in Heaven. But what about shows like Suits and Peaky Blinders? In fact, I have a lot of guy friends who've been extremely inspired by the looks in these shows, and they always speak about it. So I think understanding what if this would not only impact the female genders, but would work for other genders as well. This is something to consider.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, male fashion has evolved so much over the years. I mean, outside of your suits, like, and, you know, your t-shirts, pants, you know, I think style evolution has been on trend for a while now. So, I mean, definitely shows that also showcase different trends, you know, it's like worn by actors like Ranveer Singh, they're supposedly eccentric kind of styles. And, you know, I think that if there were shows that actually showcase something like that and, you know, had these outfits on their platform, there would be a huge male audience. Absolutely. I mean, and even non-binary audience. I mean, definitely, you know, trying to show basically how fashion can dictate these different trends, you know, and OTT platforms can be at the helm of that. And to me, that it would be an absolutely insane opportunity catering to all kinds of people. Well, that's it for today's episode, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We really hope you enjoyed this episode, and we would love to hear your thoughts on the same and any topics you'd like us to cover for our next episode. You know, you can do that by contacting us via DM at Coats and Mascara or visiting our website, coatsandmascara.com, or emailing us via the inquiry sheet on the website. I am Sharvari.
And I'm Disha. And we look forward to seeing you in our next episode.